Tonight we're going to begin embarking on an exploration of the position of the Rambam regarding the overall issue that we have been discussing the last four shiurim. The topic of these shiurim was the work ethic from a Torah perspective. And we explored a fair number of Mamori Chazal that seemed to be in opposition one to the other, and many resolutions of that contradiction. And essentially, we emerge with the conclusion that for most of us, we have to try to do both concurrently. We have to max out on Talmud Torah, but at the same time, provide our families with a living. That's a clear obligation to provide parnasa for our families. The Shitas HaRambam is one of the most exciting, unique, distinctive, creative positions. I've attempted to understand the Rambam in the course of many decades. And when one reads the entire corpus of the Rambam, so one is thunderstruck by, on the one hand, the Rambam was confronted with a major challenge to present a comprehensive position on this topic. And the Rambam, Kayadua, has tremendous fealty to Emes. The Rambam was an incredibly honest individual, and the Rambam Keseder speaks of V'ha Emes Yored Darko, that ultimately the truth is my guiding light, and the absolute Emes is what the Rambam always sought in Mishnah Torah and all of his writings. His entire persona is really the epitome, the quintessence of Midas HaEmes. On the other hand, there's no question the Rambam obviously had many, many compunctions whether Bechlal he should articulate a position on this matter or simply Sheva Al Taseh, not present a position, because obviously his position would not necessarily be in sync with the majority position of Rov Gedolei Yisrael. And this we see from a number of letters of the Rambam, how he had tremendous, one could even say conflict, a kind of inner conflict that emerged in the Rambam, but ultimately the Rambam resolved it because of Midas HaEmes. That's the Midah of Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem Elokim Emes, V'Emes Yared Darko. The Rambam Keseder writes in Moreh Nevuchim and elsewhere that Lo Yeirotze Lo Yis'ale Ki'im HaEmes, that Hashem desires truth. That one has to lead a life of Yashrus, and one has to present a position, even though it may encounter and engender and precipitate tremendous opposition, which of course the Rambam's position did, and it's not a popular kind of position, if you will. But let's just begin by exploring a number of Rambams that you have in front of you. And I tried to more or less collect, not every Rambam, but many Rambams that discuss the topic of someone who would like to have his parnasa come from teaching Torah, the study of Torah, and the like. Let's begin actually on page number one. The Rambam comments were sent out. On page number one, the Rambam Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam has the following presentation. We're going to read all the sources as carefully as we can, because I think it's very significant that we really attempt to not just speak of the Rambam in a very general kind of way, but meanwhile precise, and to be as precise as we can, we have to read the language of the Rambam. He writes, Hoya mining amedina, likach malamin hatinokos, schar nosi lo scharo. The obligation to pay a malami tinoko, someone who is teaching, v'chayv l'lamdo b'schar, ad sheyikru ator shevichsav kula. Derech agav, the Rambam indicates that tinoko shevich rabbam have to learn the entire Torah shevichsav. Very fascinating comment of the Rambam, but that's certainly something which can demand compensation, and we're obligated to compensate a Rebbe who teaches young children Torah shevichsav. Mokim shenagu l'lami Torah shevichsav b'schar, mutar l'lami b'schar, aval Torah shebal peh, the Rambam says, also l'lam de b'schar. One cannot teach Torah shebal peh for compensation. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Dvarim, the Gemara cites this pasuk in Becheiros and elsewhere, Shenema Re'eli Manati Eschem Chukim and Mishpatim Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. Ribbono Shel is the ultimate Lamed, Hamalamed Torah, the Amo Yisrael, and therefore we're also obligated to be Malamdim in the sense of Imitati Odei Mahu Afata, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Yisbarach Ma'ani Bechinam Li Madati Afatem, just as I teach Bechinam Hashem Yisbarach says, so too you're also obligated L'Madatem Bechinam Mimeni. We take our model from Hashem Yisbarach, and just as his model is Bechinam, is gratis, we're also obligated to teach in a similar fashion, gratis as well. V'chein k'shetzalamdu l'doros, the Rambam says, Limdu Bechinam, Moshe L'Madatem Mimeni. Just as you learn from me, so too you should teach Bechinam. Lo matza mi she'ilamdu Bechinam, then yilamdu b'schar, shenema emes k'nei. That if someone cannot find a teacher, a Rebbe, who's willing to teach gratis, so then you're obligated, you're constrained to hire someone. Yochol yilamid l'achem b'schar tamaloma v'yal timkor. The Pasuk says, emes k'nei v'yal timkor. Halavadata she'osilo l'lamid b'schar. So the ideal, of course, is the distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh has to be taught bechinam. One cannot receive any payment for teaching Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav, on the contrary, there one certainly is going to receive payments, going to receive a schar for that which one does. The next Maror Mokom is in the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis in the Dorim, also a famous Mishnah. And the Rambam, on page number 3, you look at the Pirsha Mishnayis, the Mishnah is talking about Mudar Anor, someone who takes a neder not to have Anor. So the Rambam cites in the underlined section, it says in the Mishnah, Lo Yilamdenu Mikra, Zel B'mokam Shemalamdim Bal Torah Shebichsav Bischar. Avu B'mokam Shemalamdim Torah Shebichsav Bal Oschar, Mutam Lo Yilamdenu Mikra. Even though one may be Mudar Anor, one is not allowed to derive benefit from another person because of a neder that one took. So the issue is only if, in effect, one teaches Torah Shebichsav Bischar. But if one teaches it below schar, then you're allowed to do so. Ve'eino notzrichim lahasno shum dover mizeh b'halochas v'agodas v'midrashos l'fi she'eino mutar b'torasenu klal lilmod min mimini chokma satora bischar. The Rambam indicates that Torah Shebalpeh, of course, is a vast corpus. It encompasses under its rubric Halochos, Hagodos, Midrashim, and the Ram quotes the same source that he just mentioned. Shenemar ve'osi tivu Hashem ba'isayid alamin etzchem, bo b'kabola mani b'chinam, afata b'chinam, v'omnam, lil mol Torah shebichsav b'schar b'mkomo sheposhen haminig b'zeh, v'shezeh aschar hu midin limud hatamim, v'atnuos, v'idin shmiras hatinokos. The Gemara says the basis for taking schar where the minig was established, because either it's Schar Shimu Tinokos, what's called the babysitting duties, that they should not become hefker, they shouldn't, Rachmanu Litzlan, simply engage in all types of behavior that's not guided, without tutelage, or, as the Gemara says, Schar Pisuk Taimin. Those are the two Taimin mentioned by Chazal. And the Rambam goes on and then speaks very strongly. The Rambam goes on to say, Vani Tamea, Me'anoshim Gedolin. Rambam speaks about great people. She'iver osam hataybos v'hichishu ha'emes u'pasku din la'atman litol schar min adinim v'halimud v'nitlu b'chavli ashov. Rambam says the people who are engaged in what is Hebrew, what you call a sharuria, something which is scandalous behavior. Why? Because of taybos. And the taybos, the Rambam is talking about money. Ha'kesef ya'aneh takol. Kesef somehow has an incredible kind of driving force. And as a result, they denied the MS, they paskin that they can go ahead and take schar. And they were essentially relying on what the Rambam calls chavli ashov. They're relying on the chorus that have no foundation. There the Rambam has a great and lengthy discussion. Those are going to be a major source of our involvement in this issue. The Rambam's Pirsha Mishnayis and Maseches Avos, that's one place, and the other place, of course, is the Mishnah Torah, the Hilchos Talmud Torah. V'asher chayev shei osur alav lozunes behemtolav v'shekol mashal siva b'shamnunis v'bekoach hasiv b'damea. That's in terms of the specific Mishnah. So here the Rambam clearly has stated unequivocally that his position regarding individuals who are taking schar for Torah Shebal Peh, something which he finds to be inexplicable and absolutely unconscionable. In Makor number 4 in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Perek Chaf Gimel, so here the Rambam actually is commenting, it's actually also a Rambam, a similar Rambam is found, I didn't present it to you, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Bechoros, the Rambam there writes, and this is the Mishnah that writes in Maseches Bechoros, the Mishnah commented on individuals who occupy major public functionaries, if you will, in Klal Yisrael, are not allowed to take schar for what they do. And the Mishnah over there writes, Hanotel schar ladun dina b'telem, that someone who takes a dayan, who takes the schar in order to adjudicate, to paskin shaylus and halacha, the din Torah that he renders, the psak that he renders is batel mevuta, the Rambam says. And now in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam codifies this la halacha in Perek Chaf Gimel halacha hey. Kol dayin shenotel schar ladun dina b'telem, v'ushelo yeh schar hanikar. That's only if we're not talking about a schar nikar. Avdim hoya osik b'malachto, bolu fadu shnayim ledin, v'yamalahem, tenuli mishayase tachta v'atche odin lachem, el tenuli schar, b'telosi, means the schar batola, areze muta. V'ushi adob aniko, shu schar batola b'lvav lo yoseh. As mentioned earlier, schar batola, one is allowed to take, or schar piece of tamim, and the same thing applies as well to a dayan, v'yitol b'shneem v'shava zeh b'fnei zeh, k'gon zeh muta. In this situation, that is permissible, and that was already done as well by Gedolei HaChacham. So this is mentioned by both the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos in Bechoros and also by the Rambam here in the Hilchos Sanhedrin.
Does that mean, according to the Rambam, that means that every dayan should have another job as well? This way they can have betola from that?
And the answer is yes. We're not talking right now Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa, as we'll see from the Keser Mishnah, that we'll examine in Yitzhak Hashem, Es Lassas Hashem, Hefer Torah Secha. But essentially, the Keser Mishnah does not disagree with the Rambam in a utopian kind of society. We're going to examine what the Rambam sheet is. I have a certain mahalach in the Rambam, and you will judge whether that mahalach is the correct understanding of the Rambam or not, but we are, at this point, is quite premature. But halacha l'maisa, Kvod Rav Feinberg Shlita, there's no question that obviously today people are teaching Torah, and people are magid yeshir, and mechanchim, and rabbonim, and dayanim, and of course they get receiving compensation, but as the Keser Mishnah writes, the bottom line is Eslas Hashem Neferu Torah Secha, because simply we are in a situation which is an impossible one otherwise. In Hilchos Shkolim, in Makor number 5, the Rambam also here has a similar kind of psak, and he's talking about Magi Esvarim Shev Yerushalayim V'dayom Shadonim Es Agazlonim Yerushalayim Notin Tzcharim V'Tumas Alishka. Tumas Alishka, of course, was the area, the community chest. It's not a fund, carbonus were purchased from it and the like. So here, people who are magiye svarim and dayanim, so they can take their schar from Tumas Halishka of the Kamei. And the Rambam has a description exactly of what they're going to take. This is a sugi and subis. So here again, dayanim, who again, and if they're not going to be mekabel from the two balei din and b'shoveh, I think we call it today here in Israeli society, it's known as criminal law, mishpat plili. So if they're dealing with mishpat plili, so then they're allowed to take a, maybe this is what you're referring to, her Feinberg Shlita, they're allowed to take a maskaret from the tzibur, and perhaps that's called the schar batola, because in effect, the tzibur are the ones who really turn to the dayanim to paskin shaylus. Means they want them not to become involved in any kind of day work, not to be osik b'malacha, but they wanted to be also b'ovim kavua b'avodas adayana. So even putting aside the Keser Mishneh, Eitzlas Hashem Efer Torah Secha, perhaps here there's a basis for dayanim taking a schar, because the maskaret is in effect offered by the tzibur, who are in need of dayanim to paskin shaylus in all the areas, etc., etc. So there's a distinction between that and let's say an individual who's on his own decides to go ahead and become a dayan, become a malamid. And but here we're talking perhaps, and that's what you're referring to, and that would be the basis for the hetzer. So there are really two hetzerim, but I'm going to get to that mitzvah Hashem a little bit later. The next Rambam is probably the most famous of all the Rambams. And as I mentioned, there are two major sources that we have in the Rambam. We have a lot of sources, a lot of makaros, both in the letters of the Rambam and in the other halachas that I just mentioned. But now we're coming to probably the epicenter of this entire discussion in the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, that's a Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud. And you'll notice on the side, I actually more or less underlined the entire Keser Mishnah on page number 6 and page number 7. Many years ago, I never was accustomed to underlining anything. And my children taught me that you have to highlight. So I started highlighting, and now I just highlight everything. So I don't exactly know what the function of all this highlighting is. But anyway, so the Rambam writes, Per Gimel Halacha Yud, he makes the following statement. Kol ha-meisim malibo she'yasek ba-Torah. The person who decides to engage in the study of Torah, which is obviously a wonderful thing, ideal, below yasim malacha, but he also has the decision at the same time he's not going to do any work. Essentially, he'll become a welfare case. He'll be someone who's just going to accept from the public coffers, from the charity. So look at the language of the Rambam. Whenever I read the language of the Rambam, I start shaking. I literally am, as they would say in Yiddish, I'm tittering. I'm absolutely quivering. My entire body begins to literally to become exceptionally frightened. The Rambam said, that person, Harei Zechilul Hashem, the Rambam calls Zechilul Hashem. Now, this term, the Rambam is very precise in his use of terminology. The Rambam is not someone who's a modern-day preacher, if you will. I don't mean Rabbanim Chas V'Shalom. I mean preachers or individuals who are, let's say, fiery preachers from the South. I'm talking about the South of the United States. I had some connection with some of those people. I used to drive through those areas and listen to these evangelical pastors, and they were absolutely fiery beyond belief. I see that you seem to be familiar with them in your parts of the world. I don't think we necessarily have, although we probably have some of that here in Eretz Yisrael as well. I'm not going to go into detail. But the Rambam, when he uses language, the Rambam is very, very precise. And we know what Chilul Hashem is. The Rambam defines it for us in a number of places. There are two types of Chilul Hashem. There's one Chilul Hashem, which of course refers to Gimel Averos, the three cardinal sins that a Jew is obligated to give up his or her life. Gidah Arayus, Shrichus Damin, Mavodah Zarah. Those are Gemaras, all over Shas. And then there's another Chilul Hashem, which the Gemara has in Yuma, and the Rambam also has. Anytime he mentions Chilul Hashem, he also had that second genre of Chilul Hashem, which essentially involves a Jew, I say a frum Jew who behaves in a fashion which is less than exemplary, let's be polite. A frum Jew who behaves in a fashion which is, unfortunately, sometimes leaves a lot to be desired. The examples the Gemara gives are really wondrous examples of great Gedolei HaTanoim Amoraim who walk around Dalan Amos without talis and tefillin, or someone who buys on credit, buys b'hakofa, and doesn't pay miyad. Great Talmidei Chachamim, but I heard from Hagoyin Rabbi J. David Bleich Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomav. I once had the great honor and privilege of driving him from New York to Boston for a conference. I actually offered my services because I wanted to be able to have the opportunity to meet him. It's the only time I ever really spoke with him in my entire life. It's many, many years ago. And it was a three and a half hour drive each way. The drive became 5 hours. He asked me, why did the drive take so long? So I told him I took Derech Arukah, She'en El Arukah, as opposed to taking the Derech Tzara, or the Derech Arukah, She'en El Tzara. I decided to take the Derech Arukah, She'en El Arukah, in order to be able to speak to him. Anyway, one of the things he told me, the Rambam has a very fascinating position, not just with reference to Chilul Hashem, that I just mentioned, the second genre of Chilul Hashem, but the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Deyos how a Talmid Chacham should comport himself. And in terms of his dress, in terms of his speech, in terms of his overall kind of comportment and deportment. And Rabbi Black told me that that applies to every observant Jew and Jewess. So I told him that the Rambam is speaking about a Talmid Chacham. So he indicated to me, he cited the Gemara, even though the Gemara is found in another context, that La'olam Yasa Adam Esatzmo Ketalmid Chacham. Every observant Jew has the din of a Talmid Chacham regarding those dinim. And any observant Jew who behaves in a fashion which is, as I mentioned earlier, less than exemplary, not ideal, that is considered to be completely and totally inappropriate. And therefore, The Rambam here uses the terminology, that's called a Chilul Hashem. He's obviously not talking about the first kind of Chilul Hashem that involves the three Averos. He's talking about the second type of Chilul Hashem. And the Rambam here is not only talking about a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Black was Medayik in this Lashon. I discussed it with him maybe 50 years ago. Kol HaMesim Alibo, Sheyasek BaTorah, talking about any Jew. All of us, hopefully, who have a strong desire, a strong cheshek to learn Torah, and he's Mesim Alibo, we're going to do it. But we decide we're not going to work. We're going to become, in effect, part of the welfare system. We'll receive from the coffers. I imagine you're probably also aware there's allegedly a famous machlokes between Hagoyin and Meshav Feinstein Zatzal and Hagoyin Abar and Kodesh Zatzal. How do you view people who learn in the Kolo? Do you view them as individuals who are recipients of tzedakah, or do you view them as individuals who are, in effect, schirim? They are working for a living, albeit they're in a Kolo context, but they are obviously people who are hired to learn, and therefore they have obligations. In general, I happen to be someone who's involved in yeshiva for many, many years in different institutions, and I was very, very makbid on people who worked for me, or also Malachas Hashem b'Mia, that one should never come late, and one should never, of course, one is allowed to once in a while take a break here and there, but I felt that we have to be very makbid. And then the Rabbeim used to tell me, listen, we do so many other things outside the yeshiva, and we're so committed, and we're not paid sufficiently, and we're underpaid, and actually we're not necessarily treated in the ideal fashion, b'chulo, 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 and therefore everything they do is justified. I never saw the kesher between one thing and the other. Zelachud, b'zelachud, of course they should be paid properly, of course they should be compensated. But in terms of whether we consider this to be tzedakah, or we consider it to be workers, this seems to be a machlokes among Gedolei HaPoskim. But the Rambam here uses the language of Hareza Chilul Hashem. So this Chilul Hashem applies to every single Jew. Kol HaMesim Alibo. The Rambam continues. It would be enough if we were to say Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem, the Gemara says, has no kapara. That Ein Makifim v'Chilul Hashem, even though the Rabbi Yena and other Rishonim were able to find Baruch Hashem a Pesach Nichbod for Chilul Hashem, namely the Pesach Nichbod, he writes in Shari Tshuva, is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. That's the only expiation for Chilul Hashem. It's not found in the Gemara. That's the Chiddush Rabbi Yona and the Chiddush of other Rishonim. The Gemara says clearly that there's no kapara of Chilul Hashem, Ella of a person with his demise. That would be the kapara of Chilul Hashem. But Rabbi Yena, in his great chesed and his boundless chesed for Klal Yisrael and other Rishonim, found that the kapara of Chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. But the Rambam would have sufficed by saying here, Harez Chilul Hashem. No, the Rambam goes further. Ubizoy HaTorah. Wow. That's called the Bizoy HaTorah. Now, everyone, all of us know what a Bizoy HaTorah is, God forbid. Chas v'sholom, we should be Mavazah the Torah. The Gemara says in Megillah, Kavod HaTorah shiny. Kavod HaTorah is more important than Torah itself. If we teach anything to our Talmidim, it is that which we have to get across. Kavod HaTorah. That's why the Gemara says twice in Shas. The Gemara says in Makkos and Kedushin. The Gemara points out that sometimes you have a situation where you see a Talmud Chacham walking about and people don't stand up. People stand up for a Sefer Torah that's in transit. And they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is, of course, a Sefer Torah in transit when he's moving about. And one is obligated to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. That's a Pasuk Chumash. They say a Tokum, but Adam Bezokin. If one does not stand up for a Talmud Chacham, that's a Bizayon HaTorah. And there are other Bizayonos HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very, very makbid on everything having to do with Kavod HaTorah. Many people have asked me in the course of the last 9 months of the COVID, so many people were compelled to down outside in Chatzeros here in Eretz Yisrael and in America as well. And they weren't able to daven in a shul, as the Rav mentioned before. And this is really a very unfortunate, very sad situation that all of us are confronting, even now, because of the third lockdown. Many of us have this situation as well. And then people ask me, what do I do regarding Sifrei Torah, regarding Kriyas HaTorah? So I didn't understand the question. And what they were asking really was the following. Of course we should learn, but how do we go about doing it? So Soloveitchik was very, very makbid. It happens to be a Rambam in the Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam actually speaks about Kavod HaSefer. Soloveitchik felt that a Sefer Torah must always be placed in an Aron Kodesh. Either it's on the Bima for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah, But if it's not being read and not being used, you can't simply put the Sefer Torah on the bima and cover it with the talis, which is the custom for many, many, I guess for most of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if it's all of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to Yisker, this is a very popular kind of custom. Asalvechi was very makbid that the Sefer Torah always has to be held. Namely, it has to be held either by individuals who are holding it in a bakavadika fashion, or it has to be held in the outside of Naran Kodesh, in a Baka Mechubad. There's a very popular notion, namely that Rachman al-Litzan, people who become Aveilim, and they have to have Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis Avel, so they maintain they have to read the Sefer Torah three times. This is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, by some other Achrim. There's no marker for this anywhere in Bavli Yerushalmi. There's no source for this practice whatsoever. But Rav Soloveitchik felt you could even take the Sefer Torah from a shul on one-time basis, as long as it's going to be held by Makom Mechubad, as long as it will be in an Aron Kodesh. And that's a Mechaber Shulchan Aruch. It's also a Rambam, a very clear statement. Ad kedei kach, I don't know if the other Rabbanim here in front of me are familiar. When I grew up in the United States, in New York City, it was the custom that they would, after the Kriyas HaTorah took place and after the Haftarah was read, so of course we then say, Yukum Purkan, Avarachamim, Ashrei, till we put the Sefer Torah back in Aron Kodesh. So where would the Sefer Torah be? They put the Sefer Torah in a stakei, or that's what you call the pillory, which is essentially those who were, remember some of the our history. I'm talking about American history. I don't know about other history. I'm not so proficient in other histories. So during the colonial days, when they wanted to punish individuals who were rebellious or somehow violated the law, they'd put them in a pillory, which means their hands were outstretched and they were in a kind of stockade pillory. So they built these pillories. So when I was a youngster, that's what they used to do. And there was a chain around the Sefer Torah. And Rav Soloveitchik held that was a bizoyin HaTorah, bizoyin HaSefer. Also, behechle to do that. I'll give you another example of what I'm referring to, bizoyin HaTorah, since we're on the topic already. He was extremely makbid. The briskers have this chumrah, never should their back be to the Sefer Torah. So in the yeshiva that he built in Boston, called Maimonides, of course named after the Rambam, so there were no seats in front of the bima, because chas v'shalom, then someone's back might be to the Sefer Torah, and that would not be proper kavod ha-sefer. That would not be proper kavod ha-torah. Even though mikra adin is permissible, especially if the bima is on a 10 tefachim elevated kind of pedestal, and the way the Taz writes in the Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya, that even a rav can have his back to the Aron Kodesh. First of all, the Aron Kodesh is a reshus b'fnei atzmo, and secondly, mishum kavod ha-torah, because the rav is darshining divrei Torah and trying to inspire people with Yirat Shamayim and the like, and therefore that would not be a problem. Rav Soloveitchik was very, very makbid about all these things. I'll give you another example, which is also relevant. A number of occasions, there were Sifri Torah that were brought from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Aretz, and sometimes from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So they asked Rav Soloveitchik what to do, how to go about carrying the Sefer Torah, and he indicated the Sefer Torah should not be placed in the baggage compartment, nor should it be placed above, in the compartments above the passengers where they're seating, but rather individuals should hold the Sefer Torah the entire trip. So we're talking about a 12-hour, sometimes longer, a trip. And he held, if one person cannot do it, he himself said it would be a covenant to hold the entire Sefer Torah, to hold it for the entire trip, 12, 13 hours. It'll be a tremendous covenant. But if necessary, you'll get two or three people and they'll replace each other. And all this mishum Bizayon HaTorah, or the Gemara Megillah, covered HaTorah Shaini. So now we're back to the Rambam. Someone who decides that Sheyasuk B'Torah, V'lo Yasuk Melacha, V'yispanis Min HaTzdakah. So number one, the Rambam calls this a Chilul Hashem. Number two, he calls it Bizayon HaTorah. So I gave you many examples, and the examples I gave you all relate to a Chetz of a Sefer Torah. Namely, how to put the Sefer Torah away, put it in Aron Kodesh, and holding on to the Sefer Torah, and not putting the Sefer Torah in a pillory, in a stockade, and not having one's back to the Sefer Torah. Here, there is no Chefza. There's no Chefza of the Sefer Torah here. We're talking about the Gavra. Now, Soloveitchik once said a shir, a several-hour shir in Yiddish. And the shir was how Ha'odam Moshul L'Sefer Torah. He brought Rayas from Kol HaTorah Kula, how the individual himself is essentially a walking Sefer Torah. We have the status of a Sefer Torah. So if I wanted to Darshan, the Rambam, I don't think this is the Pshat in the Rambam, but Al Derech Hadrush, Al Derech Halotza, if I may. The Rambam says he, Ubiza as HaTorah. He's being Mavaza himself, because he's a, in fact, every human being, every Jew is a living Sefer Torah, a living thinking Sefer Torah. That's what we should be. That's what we should aspire to be. So here there's an element of Bizayin HaTorah. The problem is, as I said, that the simple Pshat of Bizayin HaTorah relates to a Chefza, relates to a the Chefza of a Sefer Torah. And he was, there's no Chefza of the Sefer Torah. It's the Gabra that we're talking about. Ubechalzos, the Rambam says, this is called Bizayin HaTorah. Okay, so now we have two expressions. One, Chilul Hashem. Expression number two, Bizayin HaTorah. But the Rambam continues. You would have thought that this would suffice. The Rambam continues. And the Rambam says, V'kova ma'or hadas. Unbelievable. That this person is responsible for extinguishing the light of the religion. What a statement. Where do you find such a statement? So I was thinking, I didn't have a chance to really be mired into this phrase, but I recall that the Rambam, when he spoke about the Taniyos, that I mentioned by the Navi Zechariah, so we just recently, not long ago, had the Taniyos of Asar B'Teves, the Matzor and the Matzok and Yerushalayim, which essentially paved the way for the Churban HaMikdash, and the killing of Gedaliah and Achikam and some Gedaliah. And the Rambam speaks about there, he's the Lashon uses that, Kova Gachalton Shal Yisrael, the last embers, the last glowing embers of Klal Yisrael were extinguished. And this red language is found also over here in the Rambam, some who decides to sustain himself through the teaching of Torah, through the study of Torah, he is responsible for destroying Ma'or Hadas. Wow. We're talking about a person who's devoting his life to the study of Torah. On the contrary, he represents Torasenu Akdosha. He's promoting Torasenu Akdosha. He's learning Torasenu Akdosha. He's teaching Torasenu Akdosha. That person is Kovam or Adas. That's how the Rambam expresses himself. And again, Rambam could have sufficed with these three expressions, but he continues. The Goram Ro the Atzmo. Not enough that he's Mechal Shem Shamayim. Not enough that he's Mevaza the Torah. Not enough that he's Mechabe Mor Hadas, but he's going to bring harm upon himself. Essentially, he is threatening his own Olam Haba. Wow. Where do we find in Chazal that such a person who studies Torah devotedly, feverishly, passionately, because he's being sustained, because his parnasa is coming from the Torah, he is, in effect, threatening his Olam Haba? Incredible statement. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The marker for this statement is the Gemara. And we'll come to that Gemara, Yitzhak Hashem, in a bit. And the Rambam goes on, Amru Chachavim kol anenu midivrei Torah, not al chayim min ha'olam, V'yod tzivu v'amru, lo tase matara l'izgadlo v'hem. These are statements that we are very familiar with. One should not use the Torah as an atara, as a crown. L'izgadlo v'hem, v'lo kardom l'achbar v'hem. One should use it as a spade, as a means to an end. V'yod tzivu v'amru, ehobis ha'malocha, usnoz ra'abonus. Of course, we're talking about not the rabbin and chas v'sholom, but the ruling powers, governmental powers, one should avoid them. And Ehovah Samalacha, this is a concept of the work ethic. One should love the work ethic. The Chaltar Shenim Amalacha Sefer B'Telem, the Sefer Adam Zeh, Shenim Alastim Esabrios. And this is, these are statements that are quoted by Chazal that are very well known to us. The Ram continues on the next page in Halacha Yud Aleph. And it's very fascinating. We have to examine carefully. Just keep in mind the language of the Rambam. We're going to come back to this when we attempt to more or less formulate the Rambam's position overall on this entire matter. After the Rambam goes on in Halacha Yud and clearly lambasted, and the Rambam chastised someone who is going to be sustained through Torah, the Rambam then goes on to say that it's a very good thing if someone's going to be sustained through Maisa Yodah. The question is why the Rambam decided to divide the Halacha into two. Why does he have number one Halacha Yud, where he castigates and certainly remonstrates with someone who's going to be Nene from Torah in order to derive his panasa. And now suddenly the Rambam goes on and idolizes the work ethic in Halacha Yudal. Seems to be two separate issues. One is the focus of the Rambam, the previous Rambam, was the Isser that's involved. The Rambam clearly holds that it's Usser. Although the Rambam also mentioned there that Torah requires Malacha. Without Malacha, one would not be able to survive. One, would, God forbid, might be led to brigandry and to thuggery and to all kinds of other skullduggery. But here in Yerel, the Rambam is talking on the positive side. Namely, the Rambam speaks about the work ethic and how it should be idolized and the like. This is the midah of Chassidim HaRishonim. The language of Chassidim HaRishonim, Kayadu Alachem, is used by Chazal in the context of the individuals that they spend most of their day involved in tefillah, 3 hours in Shacharis, and 3 hours in Mincha, and 3 hours in Maariv. They're called Chassidim HaRishonim, and the Gemara says about them that, we mentioned this already before, that how are they able to sustain themselves? The answer is that Melachton Mitzbareches V'Torvasa Mishtameres. The Gemara says that they received the Siyata D'Shmaya. They received the tremendous bracha in the work that they did, and they certainly had to work, but they worked minimalistically, and they were involved in, obviously, Avodas Hashem maximalistically, namely 9 hours a day. So that's, Rambam says, someone who's mispanished in Ma'aseh Yadav, that's called Midas Chassidim HaRishonim. Perhaps the Rambam is actually, one of his Mekoros is that Gemara. That Gemara in Maseches Brachas. U'bezeh zocher lechol kovod v'tova shevolam hazeh loylam aboh. Shenemar, this is the Gemara we have discussed in the past. In one of the shiurim, Yigi HaKapelot Kisochel, Ashrecha V'tovloch, Ashrecha B'olam HaZeh, V'tovloch L'olam HaBo. So this is probably the most powerful statement, the most charismatic statement that the Rambam makes, and I said there are two elements to this Rambam. One is the Iser, involved in being Nene Midivrei Torah, Nene meaning Parnasa, and the second, the Rambam is idolizing the work ethic and the value of work. And the person who works will be zoche to tremendous schar, tremendous siyata d'shmaya. These are two separate halachas that the Rambam has. Now I'm going to continue before I discuss the Kesa Mishneh, which is rather lengthy over here, as you can see. The Kesa Mishneh, essentially, I would like to read parts of it, even though I underlined the entire thing practically. But I would like to read good sections of it because there are some very fascinating statements of the Kesa Mishneh. The bottom line of the Kesa Mishneh, as I mentioned earlier to Rabbi Feinberg Shlita, if you look at the end of the Kesa Mishneh, he tells you, look on page number 7 where the arrow is in the upper left-hand corner, and we'll just read that. He says, HaKlal HaOle, after he lists many, many great Tamini Chachamim, Tanoim, Amoraim, who essentially worked for a living. They eked out a meager panasa, and he has a list. And the list is much longer than that which is mentioned by the Kesa Mishneh. But he writes, Shekol she'en lo mimadli hispanis, if a person is in dire straits, he has no panasa, muta litol schar lelameid ben atalmidim atzman b'men atzibur. V'chein muta lo litol schar me'atzibur lodun, to be a dayan, one can take compensation, o mi'abali dinim, acha shmiras atnoyim haniskorim b'ilchas adin, what you mentioned earlier. The Achrei Hodi Hashem Osenu is called Zos, Ef Shaloma. So now, look at the language. Achrei Hodi Hashem Osenu is called Zos. Very rare for the Kesa Mishneh to use such a language. Undoubtedly, everything that Talmid Chachamim write is written with great Siyata D'Shmaya. And somehow here, the Kesa Mishneh, after his lengthy peroration, a lengthy essay, indicates that this is clearly from on high. Ef shalom ha-shekavonos ha-benu kani she'en l'adam lifrok o melach ha-me'olo k'dei l'spanish min abriyos k'dei l'ilmo. One should not shun or shirk or abandon one's responsibility to work. K'dei l'spanish min abriyos k'dei l'ilmo. Avo she'ilmo melach ha-mefanes zoso v'im paspikenu mutav. Person should try to find some livelihood that will hopefully sustain him. And if that's the case, that's fine. If he doesn't have the ability to somehow find that livelihood, then he can go ahead and draw from the coffers, from the public coffers, and it's not a problem. And Afilu, the Kesef Mishnah goes on to say, even if you want to contend, Shein Kein Das Rabbeinu, El Kadir Vidvar Bepersha Mishnah HaKaimala, he calls Yerushalmi, Masasheni, and in Yevamis, Kol Mokum Shaloch Rofefes Biyadecha, Haloch Achar Aminog. So you could see that the Kesef Mishnah is a bit of a predicament because he interpreted the Rambam as he did, but then he himself is somewhat equivocal, if my interpretation is correct, that perhaps this is not the position of the Rambam, and seemingly it is not the position of the Rambam, as he himself indicates. However, he says, whenever one is in a quandary, one does not know how to go about paskening a shayla. So then, whenever we have halacha rofefes biyadecha, the question is whether the parameters of this statement in the Yerushalmi, but whether the halacha is not so clear, follow the minhag of Klal Yisrael. Because we know that the Gemara says, even the Klal Yisrael are not prophets, because the Gemara Baba Basra indicates that after the Chuban HaMikdash, the Ruah was taken away and given to certain individuals. This is a time-honored tradition that Chachmei Yisrael, they are paid, they are compensated by the Tzibur. The Gamki know the Shalach and Gidiv Rabbeinu Mepir Shamishna. Efshar sheiskimu came kol Chachmei Adoros Mishum Eis Lasas Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. He quotes the Gemara in Tzmura, which appears a number of times in Shas, that because we are in an impossible situation, the Rambam actually uses this language of Eis Lasas Hashem in the Hagdama to Mishnah Torah. A very fascinating Hagdama. The Rambam was always known for his succinct and for his very precise language. The Rambam is really marich. The Rambam does not engage in lengthy excursions. That's not his way. Lozu Dakar Shal Rambam is incredibly precise, and every word is chosen very, very carefully, and that's the godless, of course, of the Rambam, and in general, the godless of Rishonim. They were incredibly precise how they wrote. And the more precise the Rishon is, the more we have a dayak for the precision of the Rishon. That's why the Rambam and the Ramban, some of the Gdolia Rishonim that we are incredibly medayik. We're medayik for all Rishonim. But especially in certain Rishonim, we have a Kabbalah of even more so because of their incredible precision. So the Rambam, in his precision, the Rambam uses the language of Eis Las Hashem, Eferu Torah Secha, in the context of the Hagdama to Mishnah Torah. There the Rambam goes and at great length describes, number one, he goes through the Chachmei HaMaseira. The Meiri also does it in the Hagdama to Maseches Brachos, and the Rambam does it in the Hagdama to Mishnah Torah. And then at one point, the Rambam continues the Chachmei HaMaseira all the way to his day and age when he wrote, of course, the Mishnah Torah. But at every stage, the Rambam feels the need to explain an issue which the Gemara describes in Gittin and elsewhere, the issue of writing down Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says that Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh, Torah Shebichsav, Bichsav, is an issue of writing down Torah Shebal Peh. But every generation had many, was confronted with many, many challenges and many trials and tribulations. And the Rambam goes on in the Hagdama to Mishnah Torah. He goes through a number of stages. The Rambam speaks of the period of time when they, right after the need felt by Ravina Ravashi to write the Gemara down, and the Yerushalmi was written down, and later on the Gaonim wrote. And each stage, each generation had trials and tribulations. What issue was the Rambam concerned about? So I heard from my Rabbi Rassel Zatzal many times, the Rambam was concerned about that issue. How do you write down Torah Shebal Peh? It's awesome to write down Torah Shebal Peh. But the answer is, Eis Lasas Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. It was a chash, God forbid, that Torah Shebal Peh would be forgotten. And later on, I saw that Sam Sefer has a similar kind of approach to the Rambam's Hagdama and Mishnah Torah. So that's where the Rambam uses that language. Or the Gemara has in Gittin. The Gemara is in the discussion of the Rabbeim teaching Torah Shebal Peh to young children. And again, sometimes in the course of it, there's a need to veer from the halacha. But again, Eis Lasas Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. We're talking about a Shas Mitzuka. We're talking about a trials and tribulations and difficult and challenging times to call you. So we're worried about the Masorah being maintained, steadfast and intact. And this is the Heter. So here the Kesef Mishnah indicates that even if my explanation of the Rambam, and namely my marshaling all of these sources of the importance of working and how all the Doliat Tanoim Amoraim work and the like is not necessarily in sync with the Rambam's position, but at the end of the day, Chachmei Yisrael were knowing to take Schar Min HaTzibur based on Eis Lasas Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. And he ends with the following very frightening statement. If God forbid people were not able to receive remuneration and compensation, they wouldn't be able to learn Torah properly. And God forbid, the Torah will be forgotten. And now that we have a system that's set up, an entire apparatus, a whole ma'arechet, where people can learn in Kailalim and people can be compensated for teaching Torah, for being Magidashir, for being Mechantchim, Dayanim, v'chulu, v'chulu, yuchal lasok v'yagdil Torah v'yadir. Then, of course, this will enhance the study of Torah, and Baruch Hashem, ki lo si shokach mipi zaro, as the Torah says, and the Gemara has in Shabbos, that, again, there was always this fear, chas v'sholom, shetishtakach Torah v'Yisrael, but netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, and therefore the position that the Kesef Mishnah takes, which is the position of Ruba the Ruba of Klal Yisrael, namely that one is permitted to take compensation from the Tzibur for all types of, different types of studying Torah, teaching Torah, and the different roles that Magid Hashir, Mechantchim Dayanim, Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeim, etc., etc., that's something which is completely permissible. And even the Kesef Mishnah claims, even the Rambam would understand, would subscribe to this doctrine of Eslas Hashem, Efer Torah Secha. Okay, well, we're going to do Mitzvah Hashem the next year. We're going to continue citing some other Mekoros of the Rambam in the Igros of Rambam, which is the next number of Mekoros that you have in front of you from the letters of the Rambam that I called, that I selected. And then we will also look at the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Avos, and one or two other Mekoros, and once we do that, then we'll be able to be in a position to formulate what I believe, Lefi Ani Yizdaiti, is the Shitas HaRambam regarding this entire matter. Okay.